Blog Talk Radio.
Bring them all together.
can be confirmed. To you, my God, who I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, bitch, teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, of who believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, because I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Oh, yeah, I hear it.
This seven seas, captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightened me, and now we flee for fallen leaves. The blood and grief from all the blood, our people sing. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? It's so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we are fallen victims to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth. God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of sand. They call in the sand. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon is so astounding and gave us the Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's not be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the bait. God give the truth a day. Great. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth make. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your dull Yah magnify Yah's cup is great.
Oh, Yah, 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 Yah,
don't really be in touch with me. Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has blessed us to come to another day and right now, night, to bring to you his great, divine, and holy words on nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And who is this Yah that we speak of, whose words are so great and higher than all words? Well, Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. Yah is our lawgiver. He's our Savior. And not just of Israel, but of the world. So even if you're not an Israelite, this is the message that you want to receive. I praise Almighty Yah for allowing us again to bring you his great and divine words. And once again, tonight, we still are speaking on the virtuous women of the scriptures. And there's no really greater subject that you can speak about. All the subjects of the Most High are great, as this one is, because just like man, as well as woman, this is Yah's greatest creation. He made the heaven. He made the earth. He made all the lights. He made all the beasts, all the fowl, all the sea creatures. But then as soon as he got the man, he said, I'm going to make a man after my own image and after my own likeness. What greater thing could you create than after yourself? And someone not only that look like you, but somebody you want to be like you in your behavior, in your approach to life. You want them to accentuate the same mind as you. Almighty told us to forsake our own ways and forsake our own thoughts. Why? Because he wanted us to exemplify his ways as well as his thoughts. And when he desired for that to be done, he didn't make us into a seraphim with four faces and wings and other things. He made us after his own image and his own likeness. And then he left on record as a testimony for us, the virtuous woman. The scripture said, a virtuous woman who can find. And it's very understandable why she's difficult to find, because she's so separated, which simply means she's holy. She is unique. She's different amongst all the women. And we brought to you the very first woman that I read about, and the various virtuous nature that was left on record for us to read. So we'll know what a virtuous woman is. And this was our mother, Sarah. Her name was Sarai, and it was changed to Sarah. Now, what make her so great? What make her so virtuous? Well, it don't take a rocket scientist to know that when the Creator told us in the book of Isaiah 51, he said, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit in which you were digged. Look unto Abraham, thy father, and Sarah that bare you. And when we look under that rock and see the ways and the actions and the thoughts of Sarah, only one thing, two things come to mind. And let me show you this in the book of Proverbs 31. This is how I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the greatest women on earth are the daughters of Zion. Now, how do I know that? Because it is these daughters where the Almighty endowed in them a spirit that would allow them to be one with him. He never did this with any other nation at all. let alone the women of another nation. He did this with the daughters of Zion. And for any other woman of any other nation to exemplify the very thing that Yahweh will give the daughters of Zion, they will also have to be unique and holy. And you'll find a few, but they are very few and far in between. But watch this in the book of Proverbs 31. Even though a virtuous woman is very rare also, watch what it says. But as I stated before, even though we read this, I want to make it clear that she's not just rare because you have a lot of women that don't want to be virtuous. Today, we have a lot of women just like our men, and we're going to deal with a faithful man who can find. The scriptures say our people was destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And so a lot of the knowledge that we used to have, we just don't have today. But if you love knowledge and you make wisdom your kin and you live for understanding, then this surely can be you. And watch what this says. These are two things that I've seen with our mother, our foremother. It says, I'm going to read the 10th and 11th verse. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband do safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I love this 12th verse. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that takes a great discipline where you can just do someone good and not evil all the days of your life. That just takes a unique type of discipline. And she had it. She was tested various times where if anybody could have justified evil being done, it was her. But she didn't. And she became exactly what Yahweh wanted her to be. And that's a virtuous woman. And I can go on about her, but let me share it with you. And no, let me make this point too. Even though the Most High called Abraham his friend, when the Almighty came to visit Abraham, one of the things the most important thing he came to visit Abraham for was about Sarah. Because he was letting Abraham know that he was about to work a miracle, a wonder. Which Sarah is one of our wonders. He was going to work a wonder with her, something that had never been done and something you ain't never heard of after. And that is a 90-year-old woman having a child. And that's all he visited Abraham just to tell him this thing. And he asked Abraham, he said, where is Sarah, thy wife? And I don't remember the Almighty coming to any man saying, where your wife at? That's something you would say to your friend. Hey, where your wife at? Because you love your friend so much, you're going to love his wife, you're going to love his family and everything. And then we have number two, which is Rebecca. Virtuous woman number two. And why number two? For Isaac to have Rebecca, they went through this whole elaborate thing. Abraham made his servant swear unto him and unto Yah that he will follow these very specific instructions that he gave him concerning finding a wife for his son. And the servant of Abraham took this so serious, as he departed from Abraham, he prayed himself to Yah that Yah would show kindness and favor to his master, and that he will not leave him destitute. And he asked for a sign from Yah that if such and such happened, let this same one be for my master. And of course, what do you think two represents? It represents Shema. This is why Leah named Simeon the name that he has, because Yah hear and Yah heard the servant and everything that he, all his expectations was met, was let him know Yah heard him. And now we at virtuous woman number three. Now the three is always unique. It's always something, just to be quite frank, holy and separated. You look at the third wonder is Abraham. The man, first man called a prophet. First man had a vision and a dream that came from Yah. The first man where the word of Yah came unto him saying, first man I ever read in the scriptures where he prayed for another man, even though they had priests and other things, but still Yah waited till we get to Abraham and then tell him, pray for somebody. And he was the third wonder. Well, the third virtuous woman I read about, she's a wonder. And she's such a wonder. Years ago, when I was living in North Carolina, and the Almighty just started showing me just so much, it was through this sister I began to learn Yah order. I knew it before her, but once I read about her, then it became clear, and I was able to establish all the things that the Creator had been showing me. And I knew then that this woman is unbelievable. And the scriptures say in the book of Proverbs 31, this is what I see when I think about this third virtuous woman. And it says this in the 29th and the 30th verse of Proverbs 31. And this is what it says. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fear of Yah, she shall be praised. And this is what I think about our mother, who I'm about to speak of. And let me tell you who that is. Our foremother, Leah. And what make her so great, and what virtues do she have? Because as you know, she was not chosen by her husband. As a matter of fact, when they described her, they said she was lazy-eyed. Some people see that as cross-eyed, and other derogatory, but nobody take it as positive. And undoubtedly, Yahweh is telling the truth that he don't see like man see. Yahweh said he looking on the inward. Man looking on the outer. And I can understand why he looked on her inward and seen something very unique. And let me show you what he seen in her that I now see in the book of Genesis. And we're talking about the virtuous women of the scriptures. And why this woman was so great. And out of all the people I read in the scriptures, I don't know if I met anyone or read about anyone. It might be possible. Because I know how great Moses was. I know how great Abraham was. I know how great David was. But I'm just being honest. I don't know if I met anyone in the scriptures that was so in tune with the Most High than Leah. And let me show you what I mean. And this is what it says in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter. And we're going to start at the 16th verse. Let's start at the 15th verse so you can understand the whole story. And this is what it says. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So now you can see the compare and contrast between the two. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban, and I just want the sisters to notice, you notice there was a contractual obligation, and Jacob didn't go to try to break this contract until the contract was fulfilled. Then he said, give me my wife. And oftentimes we get this mixed up, confused, or just outright wrong. And Jacob said unto Laban, or the 22nd verse, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, and his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. In other words, in a week. He gave it to her, but he still had to work for it a whole week, 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So all you can see how the story goes. You had one that was not well loved, tenderized, and then you had another one that was well favored. And the scriptures say she was beautiful. Now, Laban was not totally honest with Jacob. But as I tell people all the time, what one thing is bad, y'all see it as good. And what one thing is good, sometimes Yahweh see it as bad. This is why the scriptures say, who knows the way of Yah? Because we see things with our own eyes, and it surely looked good to us. It looked right to us. And then next thing you know, it's the worst thing we ever did. And undoubtedly, even though Jacob chose and went with his own desires, Yahweh knew better. And I'm going to show you how Yahweh knew better. And watch the 31st verse. And when Yah saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely Yahweh has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. See, most people think this is about Jacob. They think because Leah said, look, now my husband is going to love me because of such and such and such. But little do they know, what she's really acknowledging is the fact that Yahweh seen that she was hated. And oftentimes we don't see that Yahweh see. And since we don't see that Yahweh see, we generally take things in our own hands. We generally lean to our own understanding. She could have been like any woman and said, look, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm better than this. This man hating me. Let him be who he want to be with. But no. She said, Yahweh seen that I was hated. And how did she know Yahweh seen this? Because Yahweh opened up her womb. Yahweh will bless her. And she knew this was from Yah. And she knew this had to be as a result of how she was being treated. And I told you, it's hard for me to see someone being in tune with Yah this much unless you have a spiritual connection with him and he have with you, because she didn't have to acknowledge this. She could have just said, praise Yah that I had a baby, and maybe my husband going to love. No, she said, Yahweh seen that I was hated, because she knew what was going on with her. And if it was up to Jacob, she wouldn't have had his first child. But it was up to Yah. And she wasn't finished. And watch what she said. And let me tell you, that's what the first represents. The first represents light. How are you going to see anything without light? And once you begin to realize that Yahweh see you, then you can begin to acknowledge that you see him. See, that's what you're really doing. See, if you don't acknowledge that y'all seen this thing, then you won't acknowledge that you see him. And this is where the problem lies. Because you're going to go through a lot of turmoil in life. And you won't know where that turmoil is coming from. You'll start thinking, well, maybe I'm just meant to be picked on. Maybe I'm just meant to be bullied. Maybe I'm just always choosing the wrong man. Maybe I'm just, I'm a magnet for drunks. I'm always getting a drunk. Maybe I'm just a magnet for that. And so it's all about you. But through all this, when will you acknowledge that y'all see and you see him? And watch this. That was son number one. That was Reuben. Son number two, 33rd verse. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because Yahweh have heard I was hated, he have therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And what do you think Simeon means? The root word of Simeon is Shema, which means to hear. And so Simeon is rightfully named. Because where do Yahweh hear us from? Heaven. All you got to do is read about Solomon. All you got to do is read about all over the scriptures. As a matter of fact, all over the scriptures say Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yah Echad. In other words, we want Yahweh to hear us. But oftentimes, we act like he don't. And the way we act like he don't is we don't even acknowledge that he do. We want the man to hear us. We want the kids to hear us. We want everybody else to hear us. But we don't acknowledge Yahweh hearing us. He hear our cries. He hear our pain. He hear our suffering. Not only Yahweh seen that she was hated, she went further and said he heard that I was hated. Now, how would she know that? Because this woman was so in tune with the Most High, more than I ever seen in the scriptures. It's really uncanny. It's unique. It's a wonder how somebody can be that close. The scriptures say, trust in Yah with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. And this woman acknowledged her suffering, her births. Everything was just went right back to Yah. Right back to Yah. She could have easily said after the second one, man, I'm a big stuff, But no, even after Yahweh seen, she acknowledged that Yahweh seen that she was hated. She still was hated. And now she acknowledging that Yahweh heard that she was hated. So not only... And sometimes a man can do things and show certain things that other people can't see. he wasn't like beating her up, or he wasn't like not coming home, and it wasn't like he was just making her work for him as a slave, like the men do today, where you can vividly see that, man, this man hates you. But she said, Yahweh seen this. In other words, Yah see everything. You can't hide from Yah, because Yahweh look on the inside of a man and see why, if Leah existed today with Jacob, you have a bunch of women saying, girl, that's a good man. That man love you. You need to just get yourself together. This man is this and this man is that. But Yahweh know. He know. He know what other men and other women don't know. And that's who she acknowledged. That's why I said this thing is so uncanny, it's unbelievable. This is how in tune she was with the Most High. But of course, she was not finished. And watch what she said when she had the third son. Verse 34. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I've borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And if you know anything about Levi is the only tribe of the 12 tribes that Yahweh separated from all the other tribes. And why? Because he was holy. He was anointed. He was the only tribe that can come near unto the holy things of Yah. That's how holy he was. He was the one that prayed on the Day of Atonement to atone for all our sins. He is the one that joined us unto Yah. He is the one, when we got sick, we went to him. He is the one when the secret things just weren't known, and they can just call upon Yah, and Yah will answer them through the Urim and the Thummim. This is the one that if the priest said such and such and such, it was going to happen. It was going down. Because they're the ones who join you unto Yah. And when she had Levi, she said, now my husband will be joined unto me. And why? Because she understood what this meant. She understood what three represented. She understood that all through the scriptures. And you think, how could she have to understand this? Well, she named him Levi. What do you think Levi mean? She could have named him anything. She could have named him something that meant chair. But she named him something that means join unto. And this woman was unbelievable. All through the scriptures. Why do you think Jonah, who prophesied unto Nineveh, was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights? Why do you think Moses, who was raised to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, was hidden in a basket for 3 months, or hidden for 3 months and then put in a basket? Because the third represents something that was holy. And why do you think the children of Israel was joined unto Yah on the third day of the third month? Because they are his representatives on earth. And who do you think Yahweh's representative is for all of Israel? Levi. The scripture said he is the messenger of Yah. And there's only one who knew this other than the Most High. And that was Leah. Where do you think the name Levi come from? And then she wasn't finished. Thirty-fifth verse. And she conceived again. And see, after the first two children, I can understand you getting that right. But then you get all of them right, and watch what she say in the 35th verse. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise Yah. Therefore she called his name Yehuda and left bare. Now do you see why this woman is the third virtuous woman that I read in the scriptures? This woman had to be holy. She had to be unique and separated. She had to be different than all the other women that I read about. And not just the other women, the men. This is how unique this woman was. She knew things about the Most High that only one who knows the secrets of the Most High would know. Did she do this by accident? Was this coincidence? No, not at all. For this to be a coincidence, watch what the Creator said in the book of Genesis 49. In the book of Genesis 49, watch what it says. In the 8th verse, it says, Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Right, no wonder she named him this. Did she know this before this prophecy, this blessing that Jacob gave his sons? Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. This is what it says about Yehuda. But furthermore, watch this. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 113. Just want you to see how this woman was so in tune with the Most High that reading her life story, reading about her birth, teaches things that you'll never hear nowhere else. In other words, you will have to know her. And the only way you can know her is that you know the Most High. And this is our foremother. Watch what it says in Psalms 113. First verse, it says, praise ye Yah. Praise, O ye servants of Yah. Praise the name of Yah. Blessed be the name of Yah from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised. And why? And I can understand it. Because this is when Yah made the sun. This is when Yah made the moon. This is when Yah made the stars. This is when Yah made the lights for signs, seasons, days, and years on the fourth. No wonder she named her fourth child, her fourth son, Yehuda. But before she gave him the name Yehuda, the very first thing she said, now I will praise Yah. So she called him Yehuda. And she always gave the purpose before the time. Although in the scripture it said there's a, to every time, there's a purpose. And so it wouldn't be no mistake on where she got this from. She always gave a purpose first. And then we knew the time. That's why I said this woman was so unbelievable. And every time I read her life story, I'm learning more and more. This woman named Leah, which is our foremother, in the beginning of her life, she was tender-eyed. But in the end of her life, she was the one buried with her husband. She was the one that everybody is talking about. And I may add, Yah still was not finished with her by no stretch of the imagination. But I still want to show you a couple things about her great, so you won't think this lesson is merely some feel-good lesson. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus the 19th chapter. Because sometimes we just, there's people tell us about, man, you got to read the book of the law. And people don't understand really what the law is. Watch what it says in Leviticus 19. And it says this in the 23rd verse. And this is the book of the law. And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all. And why the fourth? As I stated before, because this represents Yah's praise. When do you think the temple was built? Well, in the fourth year. And why? Because it represents his praise. And who told us about Yahweh's praise? And who gave us the time of Yahweh's praise? And what instrument did Yahweh use that we might know, my goodness, that to every time or to a time, there's a purpose. Not Moses, not David, not Daniel, not even Jacob, Leah. Leah told us the importance of time and purpose. And I tell people all the time, you can know your purpose. All you got to do is know your time. It will never, ever contradict itself. And we learned this from our mother. And there's no greater thing you can learn. Because who want to live without purpose? The scripture said there's a time and season for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. So the very first thing that happens to anyone at any time, the number one thing is your time to be born. That's number one. That comes before any other time. You first got to be born. And we're talking about a woman that understood birth and being born in time better than most I've read. And the fourth represented praise, which means Yehuda represented Yahweh's praise. No wonder he said Yehuda will be saved first, because Yah gonna get his praise. And how will Yehuda be saved? From the four corners of the earth. Why four corners? Because it represents Yahweh's praise. And not only from the four corners of the earth, he said under the fourth beast. And why the fourth beast? Because he represents Yahweh's praise. Now do you see how this works? And it's no coincidence that the man Yahweh will bring back to rule his people, to be king over all the earth, is from the fourth tribe. Of course, his name is King David. That's why understanding time is essential. But as I stated before, Yah wasn't finished there. Going back to the book of Genesis, and I know some people might think, well, that's just, she's just an instrument. Yah, she didn't know nothing. She's just the instrument that Yah will use. Well, what do you think Moses was? What you think Daniel was? What you think any man was? All of us just instruments that Yah would choose. No, there's no great, significant thing about me or anybody else that Yah would do some works through, or Yah will allow you to see certain things. We're nothing but dust and dirt. Yah is everything. But the dust and the dirt that he will use is Leah. And to me, only a fool will not recognize the instrument that Yah will use. It's like I tell people all the time, I didn't just wake up one day and say, my goodness, I know Yahweh. That didn't happen to me. I have brothers that came to me and they told me about Yahweh. They are the instruments that Yahweh used to teach me and to tell me that I was an Israelite. And what kind of fool would take the instrument that Yahweh chose to wake you up and then turn around and despise that instrument? Hate on that instrument. Well, people do it every day, but I won't. That's why I praise Yah for my beautiful brother, Zerubbabel, and my brother Jerry, who's no longer with us, because they were the instruments that Yah used to wake me up. And, of course, they brought me to Moray Elisha, and he used this great man to put me on the path that I'm on today. And I may add, as one other person that I got to recognize, and this man was very dear unto me because this is a man that mentored me in a way that you mentor is when a man, they call some organizations mentoring, where you go into a community and you just take a child and then you become a father to them. And this is what this man did for me. And his name was Tyree. And he was a Moray at the House of Israel. And he was Moray Elisha's assistant for many years until he passed. And, of course, his wife was the secretary for many years until she passed. And these individuals were extreme instruments that Yahweh will use to help me on the path that I'm on. And I praise Yah for it. And Leah is an instrument of virtues, a virtuous woman, far above rubies, holy, unique, and separated to the extent I wouldn't even be coming before you talking about order and the fourth represents praise and the second represents he here and the third represents this. If I had not read the life of Leah, this is how unique she is. And going to Genesis 30. Because Yah wasn't even finished with her. It said in the 35th verse that she left all barren. But that was just temporary because she wasn't finished. And this is what it says in the 14th verse. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, it is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband. And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. Now, I don't know what mandrakes are. I just hear a whole lot of noise. They say it's an aphrodisiac, and some people say this, and some people say that. I don't know, just to be quite frank and honest. But they was important to Rachel, and they was important to Leah because she had her son getting some mandrakes. Maybe it was just some spice for some lentils. I don't know, but it was important. And she gave up her night. And this is a woman who wanted half a child. But she gave up her night for these mandrakes. And it says in the 16th verse, and Jacob came out of the field in the evening. And Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with thy son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And Elohim hearkened unto Leah, my goodness. And she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. Now he had other sons at this time. But this one was so favored, the numbering came from her. And Yah, he don't do nothing out of order, nothing. But she bare Jacob the fifth son. And if you want to know what it represents, and watch what it says, 18th verse. And Leah said, Elohim have given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. But let me go back to because the 16th verse is going to let you know the meaning of the fifth son of Leah. And this is what it says again. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I've hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And Elohim hearkened to Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And of course, that's what the fifth represents. It represents Yah's increase. It led to Elohim giving me my heart, because I give my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. He represents increase. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, Elohim have endued me with a good dowry. In other words, this good dowry represents Yah's blessing. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I've borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun. And if you've been listening to us, the six represents when Yah would command his blessing. And afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now, if you can't see this, then I just don't know what to tell you. Six sons came out of the loins of Leah, all representing something unique. As a matter of fact, the Almighty said he did his work in 6 days and rested the Sabbath day. In other words, she done worked 6 days, basically, of representing all 6 days of the week, just by virtue of her birth. And Jacob didn't name not one of these children. And you won't even read Jacob in the story other than the fact that they lay with him that night. That's the only thing they, you would think he's just a machine. But the women is what Yahweh wanted us to see. There are no daughters like this in any other nation. The daughters of Zion are the greatest women on earth. You won't read Yahweh having a relationship with a woman like this other than the daughters of Zion, who Yahweh himself would directly deal with. You won't hear no confusion about why you name him Yehuda. And why this one named Simeon? Why this one named Levi? I don't get that. You hear that today, though. Woman go to name her son something, and here comes the man. No, I don't like that name. No, I won't even name this. And I was one of those men. And I never forget, my ex told me, the last one, she said, I'm naming this one. I said, all right. You got it. Because we don't really understand. Yah said in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, he said, all souls belong to me. The soul of the son, so the soul of the father. That's why he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because all souls belong to the Most High. And if we understood the relationship that Yah has with the daughters of Zion, you would never, ever hate on a daughter of Zion. And you can't serve no other religion at all, because there is no other religion that treat women as the Most High program does. Well, he will work wonders and signs and great things, and he ain't going to do it through a man. So when he dealt with Rebekah, Isaac didn't even know there was two manner of nations, two different people all together in her stomach fighting one another. He didn't know that the elder was going to serve the younger. But Rebecca knew. She knew. And this is what we have to know. How can we be our greater selves without recognizing our greater half? Now, what kind of sense do that make? Here it is, as men, as husbands, we supposed to be great. And how can we be great? And then our other half be inferior. Would not she have to be great also? And the truth is, she does. You don't want no weak links in the chain. Six sons. Then not only she had six sons, even her handmaid will have two other sons. And watch what it says. So not only she had 50% of all the tribes of Israel, she really had more through her direction and authority. It says, in the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter. And see, when people read this story, all they see is two sisters fighting. All they see is two sisters wrangling for position. Two sisters just trying to please their man and love their man and get him to love them. But who see Yahweh? Leah see Yahweh. Even Raquel see Yahweh. She knew why she was barren, even though she got mad at her husband. By being barren. Watch what it says. Genesis 30. In the 9th verse. It says, when Leah saw that she had left barren, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a true cometh. And she called his name Gad. And when you read about Gad, and I'm going to show you the order, Gad is the 11th son. And she still wasn't finished. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And you'll see that this is the 12th son in order. And let me show you how Yah will order this thing in the book of Genesis 35, because you'll read different orders. But I tell everybody that every matter be established by two or more witnesses. And once you understand this, you're only going to see this order twice. And all the other orders, you're only going to see once. It says in the book of Genesis 35, and watch what it says in the 22nd verse. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Yehuda, and Issachar, and Zebulun. These are the first six. Because even though they were, might have been born after certain other sons, Yah was not about to split them up. No, these were all Leah's sons, and Leah was first. Then the 24th verse, the sons of Raquel. Why? Because this was his second wife. And watch what it says. Joseph and Benjamin. Now we have eight sons. And then the 25th verse. And the sons of Bilhah. Now why did Bilhah come before Zilpah? Because Bilhah had her sons first. Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. Now, if Dan and Naphtali, because they were born from Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, were these two tribes somehow inferior to the other sons? No, they weren't inferior to the other sons. Were they worse than the other sons? No. Were they treated different? No. These were Jacob's sons. And these women were Jacob's wives. And of course, they were 9 and 10. And if you know anything about the orders that we was telling you about, 9 represents what? Represents 2. The order of 2. So it's very understandable why Dan is number 9. What do you think Dan means? Well, Dan means to judge. That's what it means. And who do you think all judgment come from? The Most High. Of course, you got Naphtali 10. Then it says in the 26th verse, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. And 6 belong directly to Leah. 8 was under her authority. And then she still had a daughter. The only one that had a daughter out of all of them. And this woman was, so really she had 9. So this woman was very, very highly blessed. And of course, to further talk about our mother Leah, because as I said before, according to the scriptures, the ending is better than the beginning. And I just want to show you her ending before we close out. Of course, if you want to read about the death of Rachel, you read this in the book of Genesis 35, verse 19. It says, Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephratah, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. And that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And then, let's see if I can find layers. And it says I have 90 seconds to do this. This is strange because if I had my glasses, I probably would have seen it like that. I'm going to cheat y'all. I got some glasses. Let's see. Layers. Woo, I can see. But I can see too good. Oh my goodness. Well, y'all can help me. I just want to show this last scripture where Leah was buried. My goodness. Y'all just let me just struggle. And watch this. Genesis 49. And this is what it says. I let everybody catch up with me. Genesis 49, I'm going to start at the 29th verse. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. This is Jacob. Bury me with my fathers in a cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite. In other words, this is where Abraham was buried. This is where Sarah was buried. This is where Isaac was buried. This is where Rebecca was buried. And watch what, and Jacob said, this is where I want to be buried. 30th verse, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field of the cave that he is therein was from the children of Heth. And, of course, that's exactly where Jacob was buried. Now, even though I couldn't see, do you see why Leah is our third virtuous woman of the scriptures? I hope you can see. And surely I can. And until tomorrow, y'all love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Trust in you, he always kept me whole. It left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that way.